You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good morning, friend. Welcome into the Mike Allen Show here on this Thursday, August 4th. That was an interesting combination of bumpers there. Well, that's all right. The day started, and I hope you're doing well this morning. I rolled in on my 1999 Bonneville, still going strong. New radiator last week, but she's still purring and ticking. I'm 5,000 miles away from the 200K mark. So sorry, kids, not getting rid of the Bonneville anytime soon, even if you are embarrassed when I drive you to school in it. My guest next hour on a Thursday, Father Alan Carter, for his First Cup Theology segment. Father Alan, who will be installed as pastor this weekend at his parish, Saints Peter and Paul, in Danville, Kentucky, which is just south, about 30 minutes from where we broadcast from. Father Alan, who's been gracious enough to be on the program, he also is part of a panel with some other priests on another show on Breadbox Media called Vatican U. We'll have Father Alan on to talk about the oath of fidelity that he swears as the pastor of a parish and as a priest in a diocese to the bishop. And there's some interesting phraseology in the oath of fidelity, and we'll talk about that a little bit. It's very appropriate, of course. We talk to a priest on this feast day of the patron of priests, St. John Vianney, the French priest, sometimes known as the Curé d'Ars, because of his long time at the parish there in Ars, France. St. John Vianney, we'll talk about him a little bit today, too. He's the patron of priests. He died on this day back in 1859. A remarkable life, remarkable ministry, a perfect example of how what the world needs in the midst of skepticism, corruption, cynicism, is the world needs saints, because Saint Jean-Marie Vianney was born just before the French Revolution. He would have seen some of the ugliness of the French Revolution, the guillotine of priests when the Reign of Terror took place and all that, and yet he still chose the priesthood, which is remarkable enough. And in a day in France, I'm sure, where there was pretty rampant cynicism within the church, he became really a model of humility and zeal for the Lord, zeal for the Eucharist, and zeal for human souls. So we'll get into St. John Vianney's life a little bit, and as I said, perfectly appropriate that we'll talk to Father Alan Carter about the vocation of the priesthood today. So stay tuned to that for that in the second hour. I also want to talk a little bit about third parties and backup quarterbacks, kind of what they have in common. Reading a little bit on some things that Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate for president, which, by the way, more people paying attention to third-party candidates this year because of the choices we have of the two major party candidates. You know, death by drowning or death by being sawn in half. I mean, that's kind of your options there. So some people looking at third parties, and as I'll explain, they have a lot in common, I think, with backup quarterbacks. We'll also talk about virtue and why virtue is as real as it gets. Of course, we'll spin the Dollar Catechism wheel, look back in history, and give out our What Were You Thinking awards, all that and more coming up on the program today. Certainly welcome your phone calls if you want to be a part of it. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can email me, mikeallenshow@gmail.com. It's one of the benefits of having a live show. Not all of our live shows here on Breadbox Media are live. We did have a special live edition last night of Andrew Whaley's show, The Counterposition. Andrew, who lives in Denver, usually pre-records his show as it plays in the evening on Breadbox. But he happened to be in Cincinnati and decided he'd drive down last night. And so I had the opportunity. It's the first time I've met Andrew Whaley, host of The Counterposition, in person. We've met via conference Skype call before, but so that was nice. Leo Brown, Leo, our general manager here, Jennifer, Ethan, who runs the board for me many mornings, CB here today, of course, and Timothy Putnam, who's now moved to the area. We all got together at local a local dive last night, Willie's locally known, and I'd already eaten a little bite, so I wasn't that hungry, but I did get me some fried green tomatoes. Mmm. They were good. And this remoulade sort of sauce, I reckon that's a French word. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it was good anyway. So anyway, but Andrew Whaley sitting in last night with Timothy Putnam and Leo, I think they did sort of a live call-in show last night, so that was pretty cool. So anyway, that's one of the benefits of having a live show is you can call in. So we'd love to hear from you. I'll give you the question of the day, by the way, in the next segment. 573-4-BREAD-4. You can call or text, email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com, or you can post your thoughts on Facebook or on Twitter. Looking at the first reading today, we've been in the book of Jeremiah. As I said, this week in the readings of the first readings of the prophet Jeremiah, there's been a turn from pointing out, exposing, rebuking Israel, particularly Judah, for her sin, a sin which was causing them to be disciplined and chastened by God, bringing about their great national nightmare of being conquered by the Babylonians, the temple desecrated and carried off into exile. And yet God had not abandoned them, but he was allowing them to suffer. I think that's one of the hard things. You know, sometimes my children now getting older, they're between the ages of 11 and 24, get into some sort of a conflict with one of my children, believe it or not, it actually happens. We get into conflict, and one of my children has said to me before, well, I know you hate me. And I say, well, no, actually, my life would be a lot easier if I hated you. It's the very fact that I love you that I'm frustrated. And that's true, I'm sure, for them as well. It's true for any relationship. Life would be easier, in a sense, in our relationships, if we could just sort of exile ourselves from one another. Because, you know, if you don't love somebody, then you've got no skin in the game. You've got no reason to work things out. Well, I think it's much the same way in our relationship with God. As Bono sang in With or Without You, you know, I can't live with or without you. We get frustrated with God sometimes. We wonder where he is. So the problem is not atheism. Atheism would be easier in that sense. If you're an atheist, you just kind of know you're on your own, right? It's a pretty despairing thought if you allow yourselves to think it. Most people don't. They're atheists, perhaps, at a certain level, but they don't follow its full implications. It's tougher to believe who God is, to believe in his love, to believe in his mercy, to believe in his goodness, and yet to know that you're suffering. Where is he in the midst of that? Well, he's there. But there are times in which, in his perspective and wisdom, of course, that is beyond our wisdom, he allows things in our life that we don't always understand. I'm not saying it makes the thing in itself good. It may be a great evil and evidence of our fallen world, but he knows that it can accomplish some eternal purpose, and that's really what you had going on with the Israelites. It's not that they'd been forgotten or abandoned by the God who called them and formed them and shaped them. It was that they were in a place in which they had to be left, in a sense, to bear the fruit of their own choices so that they may turn back to be cured. And that's what we have this week in Jeremiah, is this turning back now, and what had appeared to be an incurable wound, one that can be healed, rectified only by God himself. And so we have this beautiful passage, Jeremiah 31, one that's looking forward and one that in many ways finds its consummation and fulfillment in Jesus himself. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers, the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth from the land of Egypt, for they broke my covenant. And I had to show myself their master, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer will they have the need to teach their friends and relatives how to know the Lord. All from least to greatest shall know me, says the Lord, for I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more. Now, you've noticed the dual cure here. It's not only a cure from the guilt of their sin, for I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more. But it's also cure from the power of sin. So we so oftentimes miss about the Christian life. It's not just about being forgiven. That's a truncated gospel. It's about being forgiven and set free to live in a new way. A law that is not simply a list of regulations toward which we will always fall short, but an interior law that shapes us within. I want to talk about this a little bit later in the program too, about the reality of virtue and this interior virtue that God not only infuses into us, but calls us to sharpen and nurture in our own lives, that it is real world living at its best. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the program. Question of the day in the next segment. Welcome your calls as always, 573-4BREAD-4. This is the Mike Allen Show, and this is Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Minutes past the hour, you're back on the Mike Allen Show here on this August 4th, Thursday. Welcome back to BreadboxMedia.com. If you want to learn more about Breadbox Media, it's quite simple. Go to BreadboxMedia.com. What we're about is, across the digital stratosphere, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ and his transforming love. Also, the beauty and the richness of the faith he founded, the church he built upon St. Peter and the apostles, and continuing on down through the century. We're not about preaching to the choir. We want to accompany everybody toward this discovery and journey of truth to find the fullness of life that is found only in Jesus and his church. So you can check out our full array of programming. The word Catholic means universal, right? And so it not only speaks of the breadth geographically of the church and about every country throughout the world. It also speaks of it's the whole truth. It's the whole truth for the whole world and for the whole person. And so we try to have a variety of topics, of perspectives, of temperaments, all on our show personalities around the clock, coast to coast, each corner of this country and across the fruited plain. You can check it out at breadboxmedia.com. Also listen to podcasts of your favorite shows. Just go through iTunes or Google Play or Podbean. You can check out the links at breadboxmedia.com. You can also be a friend of your favorite show. And through a small monthly contribution of support, you can receive exclusive online access to material on your friend of the show page. So check that out as well at breadboxmedia.com. Our question of the day, really inspired by an article I saw on the blog I go to sometimes, called A Cup of Joe. And this woman, Joanne Goddard, on the blog, talking about traveling with young children and some of the challenges that that can sometimes create, right? I mean, children don't sometimes always travel well. And so, you know, what are the, some of the strategies that they use to help pass the time as they ride along? And how do they, you know, how do they time it with children's naps, for example, and so forth? I can remember traveling to Florida one year when our few of our children were really, really young. And we left at like 11 o'clock at night so that they would sleep the whole way. Of course, then you get the problem. You get there and you're absolutely exhausted and your kids are wired up and wound up and ready to bounce off the wall. So no perfect solution. But my question of the day is, besides electronics, what helps pass the time for children or for you while driving, you know, long distances? You know, is there something you grew up with? You know, did your family play the license plate game or something like the alphabet game? I was driving with my 15-year-old and my now 11-year-old down to see my mom a couple of weeks ago. And at least for a little while anyway, we played the grocery store alphabet game. You know, I went to the grocery store and I bought avocados. And then the next person has to say, well, I went to the grocery store and I bought avocados and I bought bananas. And you go forth like that, right? And you got to try to remember everyone. So that's one of the things we do. Of course, occasionally, I'm not going to try to give you some false impression of piety, but we have been known in times past, at times, to pray the rosary while we drive, which is nice. Just don't close your eyes if you're the one driving. So anyway, if you want to chime in on that, I'd love to hear. CB, who's running the board today, says food. And when I asked him to be more specific, he says gas station food. So, you know, okay. What pork rinds? Is that, are we talking about pork rinds? He's nodding. Okay. Pork rinds, sunflower seeds. All right. Let's see. Doritos. Okay, getting some nods. That's good. All right. So if you've got a thought you want to chime in on, 5734BREAD4, 5734BREAD4, you can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com, or post your response on Facebook, Twitter. Tom doing just that on Facebook. He says, I'm ancient, but as kids, we used to keep a list and try to spot license plates from all 50 states. Yes, there were already 50 back then. We're not judging you, Tom. It's okay. My parents were very clear on the fact that it was not their job to entertain my brothers and me, and we were expected to behave. As we got older, we found that it was amusing to us to tell the exact same joke at regular intervals. When I'm on the road, it's music or news. Brian says, license plate game, alphabet game, reading, listening as a family to books on tape /CD/MP3. Yes, that's electronic, but not glued to a screen. Slug bug is fun, too. So we'll get into some of the more of the responses. Not always easy. I can still remember one trip we went on to Michigan and to Canada. And I think our children at that point were like 10, 7, 5, 4, 2, and 1. Wow. And our 4-year-old daughter at the time had some tiny bladder issues, and we were stopping. It felt like every hour for a bathroom break, because listen, if you've got a 4-year-old who's telling you they need to go to the bathroom, I don't know a lot, but I know don't ignore that signal. Very, very important. 5734BREAD4 if you want to chime in. Checking sports. We've kind of passed the trade deadline now, so things are a little bit quiet, kind of hitting into that August stretch run. If in the PGA, Saturday of a golf tournament is considered to be moving day, right, when golfers position themselves for the charge on Sunday. In many ways, I guess you can call August in baseball moving month, because this is where teams position themselves for the September pennant drive. And, unfortunately, my Cincinnati Reds they could win every game in the month of August, which they're not going to do now since they lost last night, but they could win every game and still not be in contention. But anyway, hope springs eternal. But I did see last night Albert Pujols with a landmark night for him. He had a walk-off home run last night for the Los Angeles Angels, which gave him 12 in his career. And for the uneducated baseball fan, a walk-off home run is a home run that ends the game. So you literally walk off the field, whether it's the bottom of the ninth or bottom of extra innings, it ends the game. So that 12th walk-off home run makes him one shy of Jim Thome's all-time record. I consider the list of players that Pujols tied: Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Stan Musial, Frank Robinson, and Jimmy Fox. That's pretty good company. He also passed Lou Gehrig and moved into a tie with Ken Griffey Jr., Rafael Palmeiro for seventh on the all-time extra base hits list. So that's pretty impressive. And as I read down the piece, now, you know, I used to not have a lot of warm affection for Albert Pujols because he played for the team that I consider the devil incarnate, the St. Louis Cardinals. But since he ended up with the LA Angels, it's all good. But I was surprised when I got to the bottom of the article. It said if that continues, it shouldn't be long before he moves into the top 10 in career home runs. His 581 homers ranks 11th, two behind Mark McGwire. I knew Pujols had a prolific career. That home run total has sort of snuck up on me. I mean, Pujols is only 36. He's got 581 home runs. Now, his prime home run hitting years are behind him, no question. But if he plays three or four more years, I mean, depending on his productivity, he could push up towards 700 home runs, which, of course, has been done by only three players, I believe. Has A-Rod hit 700 home runs? CB, you're supposed to be a font of baseball knowledge. But if not, then basically the only guys you've got, of course, are Bonds, Aaron, and Ruth. So, I mean, Pujols' Hall of Fame career, no doubt. All right, let's get on to our What Were You Thinking nominees of the day. We've got a few here. The first is going to go to a man who buys a cute Finding Dory lamp, a nightlight, let's say, for his kid. Who doesn't love Dory, you know? What a delightful character. We've seen the sequel. I've seen the sequel anyway with my 11-year-old. I don't think it was quite as good as Finding Nemo, but good nonetheless. And Ellen DeGeneres, you know, hilarious. And she's the voice of Dory, of course. Who wouldn't want a Finding Dory nightlight? And so this man brought home his Finding Dory nightlight for his daughters. It just is Dory's little face and looks so cute until you plug it in. The man admits he almost had a heart attack when he got home and turned the thing on. Once he flicked the switch while in darkness, a glowing demonic face appeared. And we're pretty sure it will give the kids nightmares. I'm going to post a link to this on the show's Facebook page. So whoever, the first nominee is going to go to whoever put together the Finding Dory nightlight and didn't test it because I'm telling you right now, no kid would look at this thing. You remember that head that came out of the closet in the movie Poltergeist? You know, the ladies in there, go into the light, dear children. And all of a sudden they're screaming, no, don't go in the light. They start pulling the rope and out comes this skull. That's what the Finding Dory nightlight looks like. So, man, maybe they've got some sort of contract with therapists. Anyway, I'll get this on the Facebook page. We'll be back with the other two nominees. This is the Mike Allen Show.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
We're right at the bottom of the hour back on the Mike Allen Show. Here on this Thursday, August 4th, the feast day of St. John Vianney, patron of priests, patron of pastors. We'll be talking about a priest and a soon-to-be-installed pastor in the second hour with my weekly conversation, First Cup Theology, with Father Alan Carter. My question of the day, what is something that you use, your family uses, maybe you used growing up, something to pass the time for you or for children while driving? Put a link to an article from Cup of Joe on road trips with kids, which are always a little bit of an adventure. 573-4BREAD-4, if you want to call or text, 573-4BREAD-4, or you can email me, mikeallenshow@gmail.com. Some responses we've got, as I said, Nicole said singing. Singing's okay as long as you don't break out the 100 bottles of beer on the wall. Have you ever done that one all the way through? I think it's been a long time since I've sung that one. And I'm not sure I ever have all the way through. Chris says 20 questions. Yeah, 20 questions is a good game. That is pretty fun. And it is amazing. You can sometimes pick what you think is the most obscure historical figure. And, you know, probably 7 times out of 10 in our family, somebody's going to get it. Carrie says alphabet games, coloring pages, new toys or books they know nothing about and given at random times. See, I got to think about all this stuff because my newest vehicle is, a 2001, and our van is pushing on 20 years old. So we have never had the DVD player in the van. Never have. Not saying I'm not a Luddite. I would love it. Just for whatever reason, we've never gotten it. But that has to be magic right there. Just pop that DVD in and just roll on. But going a little old school with this question today. So we're setting electronics aside and asking you your thoughts on that. 573-4BREAD-4. Email me, mikeallenshow@gmail.com. Okay, let's get back into our What Were You Thinking nominees, spanning the globe, as we always do, to find you examples of people who followed our old adage, go dumb or go home. This from America's Got Talent and why they need, I guess, a 7-second delay. A stunt goes horribly wrong on America's Got Talent. Man gets shot with flaming arrow during live TV. Don't try this at home. I guess there's a reason for that disclaimer, huh? An act on America's Got Talent went horribly wrong Tuesday night when contestant Ryan Stock was shot with a flaming arrow during an episode that was aired live. The Canadian stuntman was ready to wow audiences as he waited for his fiancée, Amber Lynn Walker, to perfectly aim a fiery arrow at a target placed in his mouth. Why? Exactly. Anyway, in a live television mishap, Walker missed, and viewers and the show's judges, horrific, which were Simon Cowell, Heidi Klum, Mel B, and Howie Mandel, horrifically watched as Stock was hit in the neck. The show continued to air as the shocked judges looked on, and host Nick Cannon made sure Stock was okay. I'm okay. It's just a flesh wound. No, I added that last part. Stock stressed despite visible shock and pain. Mandel urged him to see EMTs, and Cannon later assured viewers that Stock was doing well and was not punctured by the arrow. Like I said, 7-second delay, America's Got Talent. Unbelievable. It's like those people that got you. Have you seen this clip of this guy who jumped without a parachute? And they had the, on purpose, they had some huge big net thing that caught him. And people gathered to watch him do this. It's a little bit of a risk, don't you think? Anyway, he survived it. But I digress. Okay, so the winner, though, we talked about a fiancé shooting her fiancé in the neck. The winner is going to go to all you men, and I guess I could say all us men out there, and our love for cargo shorts. This is an article from the Wall Street Journal. Those cargo shorts you love, they may be hurting your marriage. Says Dane Hansen, who operates a small steel mill in Pleasant Grove, Utah, says that throughout his 11-year marriage, 15 pairs of cargo shorts have slowly disappeared from his closet. On the occasions when he has confronted his wife about the missing shorts, she will either admit to throwing them away or deflect confrontation by saying things like, "Honey, you just need a little help." Hansen, 35, is now down to one pair of cargo shorts, and he guards them closely. He has hidden them in small closet nooks where his wife can't find him. Evidently, his wife has taken to taking his cargo shorts to Goodwill because if she throws them in the trash, he fishes them out and puts them back on again. So look, I know you like your cargo shorts, handy pockets, place to put your cell phone, all the rest. But is it really worth your marriage, brother? Really? So whoever came up with cargo shorts, and I guess our irrational devotion to them, even at the cost of your marriage. So all you guys out there, you know who I'm talking about. If a mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. 573-4BREAD-4, if you've got your own to share, it's always fun to understand that, you know, sometimes we suspend our clear reason and can deserve an What Were You Thinking award as well. Let's look back in history a little bit on this day throughout the ages. August 4th throughout history. 1753, on this day, George Washington became a master mason. Now, many of the founding fathers were masons. By the way, you cannot be a mason and be a Catholic in good standing. I don't know if you knew that or not. But, I mean, I think the majority of masons today are fairly, I'd say most of them, just about being a part of a lodge, fairly innocuous in terms of practicalities. But they are, as an organization, profoundly and deeply irreconcilable with the Catholic faith. In 1879, Pope Leo XIII published, I think he'd only been pope a couple years at this point, published his encyclical Aeterni Patris, which sought to recover, renew devotion to St. Thomas Aquinas and philosophy in the church. There had been in many ways, a rejection of philosophy in the church after the dawn of the Enlightenment, Leo XIII seeking to recover the compatibility of faith and reason. Leo XIII, one who, you know, I know St. John Paul II wrote some profound encyclicals. Leo XIII, I'd stack up there with anybody in terms of influential writings while he was pope. 1892, Sunday school teacher Lizzie Borden arrested on two counts of murder. Of course, she would be acquitted, but guilty till proven innocent in the lyrics of school children, I guess. 1901, Louis Armstrong born. Born in New Orleans, Louisiana. Of course, he died 70 years later. Interestingly enough, a little thing about Louis Armstrong. When asked about his religion, Armstrong would answer that he was raised a Baptist, always wore a Star of David, and was friends with the Pope. Armstrong wore the Star of David in honor of the Karnofsky family, who took him in as a child and lent him the money he used to buy his first cornet. He was, though, in fact, baptized as a Catholic at the Sacred Heart of Jesus Church in New Orleans, and he did meet Popes Pius XII and Paul VI. Let's see, in 1903, Cardinal Giuseppe Sarto of Venice elected Pope Pius X. 1944, Anne Frank arrested in Amsterdam by German security police, followed by a tip-off from an informer. A few birthdays today. Billy Bob Thornton, 1955, so he's 61 years old today. Billy Bob, one of the quirkiest actors of a generation, no doubt. And, of course, I'll always remember him as Carl from Sling Blade. I like them French fried taters. 1961, Barack Obama born on this day. So the president's last birthday in the White House, 55 years old today. And Roger Clemens, 54 years old today. Will Roger ever make the Hall? What a tragedy. I mean, honestly, talk about What Were You Thinking? I mean, Roger Clemens was a first ballot shoe-in until he tried to extend his career with a little help from the juice. 1985, White Sox Tom Seaver is the 17th to win 300 games beating the Yankees. Back in the day, pitchers a little bit more durable, I would say. And it's winning 300 is going to be increasingly rare for major league pitchers. Anyway, when we come back for the break here, we got about another minute or so here. I want to talk a little bit about third-party candidates for president. We look at the scenario as it now exists, and there are some people, many people, I would consider myself among them, who look at the two candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald J. Trump, and say, I can't vote for either of these folks. Donald Trump, who has no political experience, who is so unbelievably boorish, and it's not just his stated positions, it's the personality, the temperament the man would bring to the Oval Office. Frightening indeed. And then you got Hillary Clinton, who is this full-throated and both feet in on abortion and hostile to religious liberty. I can't in good conscience vote for either. And so we start looking at third-party candidates. But interestingly enough, there were some comments I was reading about yesterday from Gary Johnson, Libertarian Party candidate, that got me thinking that third-party candidates are a lot like backup quarterbacks. I'll explain when we come back from the break. This is the Mike Allen Show.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Minutes before the hour, you're back on the Mike Allen Show here on this Thursday, August 4th. Not the weekend yet, but hold on tight. If you've started school already, you're a teacher or student, sorry about your luck, but still got another week and a half to go, a little less than 2 weeks, actually, before I have to jump in local Catholic schools here in Lexington, where we broadcast from, that time of year. Speaking of children, our question of the day, what are things you do to help pass the time when driving, either for yourself or for your children? It's our question of the day. 573-4BREAD-4, you can call or text, or you can email me, mikeallenshow@gmail.com. Speaking of children and driving, I'm pretty sure I've told this story before, but it's worth telling again at the risk of becoming one of those people who, the older they get, the more they repeat themselves. But 1976, I was 10 years old. My mom and my two sisters and my aunt and my two cousins, two cousins, that's right at that point. We went to go see the Freedom Train. It was actually a train that went across the country. It's a bicentennial of our country. It had different artifacts from the bicentennial year, old documents and everything, the kind of stuff that a 10-year-old, I'm sure, would love, but would be dragged by their parents to see. So we went to see the Freedom Train. Don't remember much about it. I just remember after we went to see the Freedom Train, we decided we were going to go to McDonald's and have some lunch. And, of course, it was back in the day before seatbelts were really in vogue, or car seats, or all the rest. So we got in our big Impala, my mom, my older sister, and my aunt in the front seat, and in the back seat, my little sister, my little cousin Sean, who was, I think, 4 at the time, my cousin Jimmy, who was 7 at the time, and me, age 10. And we're rolling along in the Impala, heading to what was going to make the trip worth it, the McDonald's experience, and all of a sudden my 4-year-old cousin Sean starts saying to his mom, "Mom, I got to go to the bathroom." Of course, she says, "Sean, it's okay. We're we're going to the restroom. It's, you know, just a few miles down the road here to McDonald's and everything will be fine. Well, another minute later, Mom, I got to go pee bad. Sean, it's okay. We're almost there. And then the urgency in the voice reached an epic pitch. Mom, I got to go and I'm going to pee my pants. And so my aunt, in a talk about your what were you thinking moments, reaches down in the floorboard of the car, picks up an empty coffee cup, hands it back to my cousin Jimmy, who was 7 at the time, and says, here, Jimmy, have Sean pee in this. Now, remarkably, none of us thought this was a bad idea. There were no objections. There were no word of caution. We all just said, okay. So Sean stood up on that vinyl seat, pulled his little shorts down while Jimmy held the cup for him. And unfortunately, something happened. I don't know if my mom hit a pothole, but just as Sean released, he fell. And, you know, if you know anything about the male urinary system, once that starts, they ain't no stopping it, especially in a 4-year-old. So it was quite the experience, and one that could only be partially rectified by large handfuls of napkins from McDonald's. So anyway, traveling with a child, to say the least, always an adventure. If you've got your own story to share, we'd love to hear from you. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. I saw a quote yesterday from the Libertarian presidential candidate, Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson, you know, this is supposedly the year for third parties. The long dominated by the two parties, our political process, Democrat and Republican, two objectionable candidates that, to be honest with you, even those who are planning to vote for Hillary Clinton don't really like her. And I would say that's the same with some who are voting for Donald Trump, though I'm disturbed by the number of people who actually find his sort of political discourse refreshing. Don't get it. But anyway, so there are a lot of people saying, okay, I can't vote for either of these two candidates. Maybe I'll go third party. Maybe I'll go Gary Johnson. Libertarian. You know, the idea of libertarianism is, okay, keep the government, you know, the role of government is just to provide some basic services and to protect the people. But all in all, government should stay out of our hair and just let things be as they are. It's rooted in a view of liberty, libertarianism, that really sees freedom as a freedom from something. I mean, that's the essence of the party, right? Freedom from any encumbrance. And it tends to have a great deal of confidence in the motivations and the virtue of the average American citizen. It's not really a very Catholic view of government, which sees government as a positive good within limits. Anyway, so Libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson voiced concerns about whether laws protecting religious freedom could open the door to sanctioned discrimination and violence, specifically tying it to the potential for violence involving Mormons. Not violence to Mormons, mind you, but violence by Mormons. This being reported in the Salt Lake Tribune. Johnson, in an interview with the conservative Washington Examiner, said he believes government's duty includes preventing discrimination, said that giving exceptions based on religion will open up a can of worms. We're not talking about exceptions, candidate Johnson. We're talking about the first freedom listed in the First Amendment, which is the free exercise of religion. It is not discrimination, or not unjust discrimination anyway. We all practice discrimination, and it's not all bad. Unjust discrimination is bad anyway. So Johnson goes on to say, I mean, under the guise of religious freedom, anybody can do anything. Why shouldn't somebody be able to shoot somebody else because their freedom of religion says that God has spoken to them and that they can shoot somebody dead? Now, come on, Gary Johnson. Talk about your caricature and straw man. Nobody's arguing for the religious right to murder somebody, okay? That's a total straw man, and you know it. Anyway, he concluded by saying he saw religious freedom as a category of being a black hole. So if you're looking for religious liberty issues, which are a concern, I think, with both major party candidates, by the way, with Hillary Clinton, you got to worry about the free exercise of religion in terms of imposing certain government views of morality upon churches or church-run institutions. The Little Sisters of the Poor can tell you all about that. If you've got Donald Trump, you've got a religious freedom issue when it comes to the blanket broad-brush way that he is treating Islam in this country. And, of course, don't for a second be fooled into thinking that he gives any concern to the religious freedom of Christians to live their faith in its fullness. But here's the problem, right? And this is why a guy like Gary Johnson, a guy like Jill Stein, can have a certain appeal to people until they actually begin to look at the things that they say and stand for. That's why I compare third-party candidates to the backup quarterback. Listen, I'm a college football fan. I'm a University of Kentucky college football fan. I've been loyal and diehard since I was going to games back in the late 70s. I'm not one of these people, and you run across them. You ever meet them? You know, Kentucky's got a great basketball program. They'll say, I'm a Kentucky basketball fan, but I'm an Alabama football fan. Well, yeah, okay. No, that doesn't work that way. You're in it with the team, whole hog, whatever. If that's your college, that's your team, you stick with it. That's my principle anyway. So I've been a long-suffering Kentucky football fan. One of the things that's true about Kentucky football, given the fact that we usually aren't very good, and where does the attention focus usually when your team is struggling, particularly, of course, on offense, is in the role of quarterback. And over the years, I've seen it time and time again. You've got a quarterback out there who struggles, digs a deep hole for the team. I mean, the team's dug a deep hole for themselves, really. And then maybe sometime late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter, the coach finally, after being booed unmercifully by the stands, throws in the backup quarterback who's now operating against a prevent defense or against the third and fourth string for the team that has the big lead. And of course, the backup quarterback looks outstanding. That's why it's said that the backup quarterback is the most popular player on the team, because you always imagine, well, if that coach would just give him a chance, this is what he'd do. Well, don't you think the coach wants to win? Anyway, but what happens is, finally, frustration level reaches such an epic pitch that the coach announces that the backup quarterback is going to start the next game. And then, of course, they trot out there for the next game, and people discover why this was the backup quarterback to begin with. So if you are comforting yourself in this upcoming election with dreams of voting for a third-party candidate, and you look at Jill Stein and you look at Gary Johnson, there's a reason they're third-party candidates. Let me just say that. I'm not saying don't vote for him. All I'm saying is, as Gary Johnson showed with some of his ill-timed remarks, it's a lot easier to be romanticized as a candidate before people actually start looking at what you believe and stand for. Just keep that in mind. We'll get into some other things in the second hour, including a remarkable article in Vox, hardly a pro-life publication, that is pro-life indeed. We'll be back. This is The Mike Allen Show. This is Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.